today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we'll tell you about some of the places with big 250th birthday celebrations in a few weeks. And American Airlines drops a nonstop cross-country flight from Sacramento. Those stories next in the news.
For those planning a trip to Europe soon, we have a recap of famous Rule 261, the consumer-friendly airline policy. Did you know that the rule can apply on your flight to Europe from the U.S.? Well, we'll help you understand this flyer protection program at 11:22.
There is a new super-fast way to get through security at the airport. Don't worry, it's perfectly legal. And we'll tell you all about it in our summer TSA update at 11:35.
The headline reads, How the Airline Industry Downgraded You for Profit. It's our final story at 11:50.
This is why no one from the airlines will come on our show, Tom. Hey, thanks for coming along on today's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Popping everywhere, man.
Jamaica.
Solo Seattle.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano. Right over there is Mark Hoffman, back in town after a kind of a whirlwind trip to New York City and then off to, I like to call it Hamsterdam. I don't know why. To Amsterdam. And he's returned no worse from the wear. I can tell that it went well. As we had discussed, Mark is not much on food outside of Minnesota, but buddy, you know, your color looks good, Mark. You must have not had to do the Pepto-Bismol thing.
No, I didn't. I survived. I'm just not I'm not an adventurous eater. And, you know, people who travel a lot, they're like, oh, you have to go there. You have to try the food. And, you know, you have to try the klobotsky or the moshuka or whatever it is. And because it's the greatest on the whole planet. And I'm just like, you know, I don't recognize that. And I'm not going to eat it. And then my stomach says, what the heck is this that you're sending down here? So I'm just for that reason, I'm not a real good international traveler. Fortunately, Amsterdam has a lot of Americanized restaurants and you can get steak and potatoes if you're, you know, dying on the vine. But what a great city that is. What a great, great city. We're going to talk a little bit more about Amsterdam a little bit later on in the program. On our way over, as we talked last week, I was still in New York City, had seen Death of a Salesman, one of the current Broadway shows. And of course, last Sunday was the Tony Awards program, where Broadway hands out, based on all of the new shows for the year, all of their awards for actors and actresses and best musical and best revival and all that kind of jazz. And I took note that Laurie Metcalf, who was in Death of a Salesman, who played Nathan Lane's wife and who was just brilliant on the stage. I mean, just brilliant. I mean, Nathan Lane is arguably Hugh Jackman, Nathan Lane. I mean, there's a small circle of guys that are way up at the top on Broadway. And Nathan Lane was really good in the show, but Laurie Metcalf was way better. I mean, she was just terrific. And she won a Tony Award. So I was really glad to see that. That was really kind of cool. I don't get to see as many Broadway shows, but it looked like there were only a handful of new musicals this year. But they all shared pretty well in the awards. So that's probably good news for those of us in places like Sacramento, because what happens is when those shows finish their Broadway run, then they will, or once their Broadway, you know, once the ticket sales start to fall off a little bit, then they'll hit the road, and that's when they show up in places like Sacramento. So, gosh, my business buddy Clayton hit it really well. He had to pick a show for his November New York Theater Group to see. He had to buy the tickets before the Tony show event. So he was like, all right, well, there's three or four shows here that might be best musical. So he picked Schmidageddon. I think that's what it's called, something like that. Mm-hmm, anyway, it's the show that won best musical. So,
I saw that in the nominees.
Yeah, can't even hardly talk to him this week because he's like, yeah, oh, I picked the winner, you know. And so all the people who go with Clayton in November will get to see it to New York City, will get to see the Tony Award winning musical, and those of us poor people down the line will get to see it in Sacramento sometime in the next year or two.
Oh, fascinating, fascinating. Schmidtageddon?
It's a mashup of three or four different Broadway musicals. The show that won the Tony, this is embarrassing that I don't know more about this, but the show that we're talking about that won started off Broadway in a basement theater in downtown Manhattan and only made it to Broadway by chance. And then has been this incredibly popular show and now won the Tony Award. So there's the list of shows that won Tony Award for Best New Musical. Only one wins each year. So it's a pretty distinguished list of shows. So anyways, if you enjoy Broadway style shows, there are a lot of good shows that will be coming our way here in Sacramento. I'm going to round up Scott from Broadway Sacramento, and also I want to talk to the folks from the Harris Center, get them on the show too, and have them. That's a great place to go see entertainment and concerts and stuff like that. And since we do talk about entertainment once in a while, I thought it would be good to get them on the show sometime in the weeks ahead.
Yes, as the title of the program says, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. And part of the things that we do on the Travel Guys at the top of every program, we take time out to bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with that being said, Mark, give us an update on this week's travel news.
Well, in the elephants and donkeys department, a judge is forcing officials of the Trump administration to reinstall signs and exhibits at national parks on topics like slavery and climate change. If you recall, over the past months, there has been a real effort to make some changes and to eliminate some subjects from placards and various displays at national parks. Some people think that's an attempt to rewrite history. A federal judge in Boston on Friday agreed and said that those exhibits and signs on topics like slavery and climate change that were removed from parks and monuments will be restored. So no matter where you are on that, if you were happy in the beginning or you're happy now, it's still in the news. Sacramento listeners, so we talked about the rumor of this coming up, but it appears as though this summer American Airlines is going to, the airlines are dropping flights that are kind of on the margin when it comes to profitable. And it appears as though the flight from Charlotte to Sacramento that American Airlines runs comes in the evening and goes back as a red eye, which is Newark does that. There's an Atlanta flight, a Chicago flight, couple of flights to destinations in Mexico. Sacramento is a big red eye outbound city. And so the Charlotte route is going away this summer. So if you're somebody who liked that red eye to Charlotte and then sprung perhaps to another American Airlines city from there, you're going to have to make other plans. America 250, our 250th anniversary is coming up here in just a few weeks. There are a lot of special events all around the country. As you might imagine, the majority of them are in places that have longer history than California and places on the West Coast. We didn't pop up until the early to mid 1800s. And of course, if you do your math, you know that 1776 is the magical year. And in 1776, there still wasn't a lot going on in some of the Western states. However, some cool places, if you are still looking for ideas or you know people in other places, the area of the 13 colonies back east is going to be kind of cool. There are going to be tall ships both in Baltimore and in New York City. Baltimore has a thing called Sail 250. And that runs from June the 25th until July 1st. And then on July the 4th, there are going to be tall ships in New York City. So if you're a tall ship fan and you're on the East Coast or you know people who live there, Williamsburg, Virginia is going to have a 500-foot-long quilt available to view, which will talk about the 250 years of American history. The old English district of South Carolina is offering several celebrations, mostly evolving around the Civil War, Richmond, Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia, We already talked about New York City and Times Square last week. So all Eastern destinations. Chicago is going to have a big celebration, Chicago 250. Grand Rapids, Michigan is doing a whole big downtown event and an outdoor symphony concert and special exhibits at the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum there in Grand Rapids. Nashville is doing a Let Freedom Sing Music City celebration on July 4th. Indoors, outdoors, theaters, and venues all over Nashville. That sounds like fun. Of course, think about what the weather might be in Nashville on July the 4th. That might be something a little bit less than pleasant. But Vicksburg, Mississippi has a Independence Day Sparks Over the River event, which they always do apparently, but this year are going to have expanded music and fireworks. The fireworks people are going to make a lot of money this year. Bentonville, Arkansas, which is the headquarters of Walmart, is going to have a big celebration. Here in the West, it looks like the biggest and most unusual one is going to be in Cheyenne, Wyoming. They are bringing out an old train engine that has been restored and some other pieces of Union Pacific's train fleet, and are going to have a big train-oriented celebration in Cheyenne. They have a very historic train depot there, so that's kind of cool. Central Oregon's High Desert Museum has a special celebration. So there are a few of the places, maybe some of them not so known, that where you can celebrate the country's 250th anniversary coming up in, just about 3 weeks?
Yeah. Well, hey, that's quite a list of cool things and places to hang out. Cheyenne, Wyoming. My brother used to live there. Mainly had a company that took people hunting and fishing in Cheyenne and nearby states. But I didn't know they had a big train thing. I wonder if the big boy is going to be there. That's that big giant steam engine that rolled through Roseville about a month and a half ago. I got a chance to see that. So, and that was part of the 250. So, all right.
Cheyenne was kind of the crossroads of the railroad world. So if we're going across the country, the first north-south routes that went up to Montana and the Dakotas and the like, and southern routes that gave people from the East Coast an opportunity to go other places besides just California. So Cheyenne was really a big railroad town back in the day. So I'm not surprised that their celebration is evolving around railroads. Southwest Airlines is finally getting some decent Wi-Fi, and it will be free. They have signed up for Starlink. So the first plane will be hooked up by the end of June, 300 aircraft by year end. Wi-Fi, internet in the sky has gotten a lot more dependable. I say this as a man who flew back from Europe this week on planes where the internet didn't work. But in most cases, the internet is much more dependable than it used to be. Just remember to bring your headphones. If you're going to listen to music or other conversations or things like that, the United folks on one of the flights I was on last week actually included an announcement about using your headphones and a little warning that if you didn't, that it was an offense that could get you taken off of the airplane, and that indeed that had happened. So please don't test that. Let's see here. Phoenix Airport is rolling out an app to make trips easier for visually impaired travelers. And I read this and I thought, well, wait a minute, an app's on a phone. How is a visually impaired traveler going to use that? Well, they've got I'm not going to spend 5 minutes and explain it all to you here, but this is really cool. The Phoenix Airport has come up with something that when you activate it, and there's a way for visually impaired people to activate it, it will, from an audible standpoint, will tell people where they're going and what they need to do and stuff like that. And I hooked it up and tried it this week. So if you have any friends who travel who have some visual issues, I can only imagine trying to make it through an airport the size of Phoenix, which is about half the size of the state of Arizona, without being able to see and know where you were going. So congratulations to the folks in Phoenix for thinking of this. If you think of that airfares are higher than they were a few months ago, you would be correct. 30% airfares have gone up since this whole business in Iran started. The president calls it a little inconvenience. I would say for people who are buying airline tickets, it's a little more than an inconvenience. 30% on a $500 ticket is $150. So as somebody who buys airline tickets for groups all the time, I can tell you the airfares are just, they're something that we've never seen this ever before. And if you think for a minute that they're going to go back to where they were in February, when all this business over in Iran ends, and for the umpteenth time we're led to believe that that might happen in the next few days, I hope it does for the people over there and the military people and everybody impacted by this. But if you think the airlines are going to give all that 30% back, I've got
news
a dock, and yeah, I've got a dock down by the bay that maybe you might be interested in. All right, and finally, we said that this could happen, and indeed, World Cup, some folks are not getting into the country very cleanly. Did you see the one about the Tom, about the referee, the honored referee, Africa's top football, as it's referred to everywhere else on the planet, referee in 2025, had a visa, had all his credentials, was from Somalia. Ooh, and didn't get into the country. Questioned for 11 hours, sent home. Sent home to a hero's welcome. So there you have it. And that's your travel news for today.
Wow. And we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Speaking of which, more to come right here on the Travel Guys. We're going to talk about a rule that's fairly rarely talked about here in this country, because it's a rule that was designed and set up for and is something that goes on in Europe to protect passengers. We're going to talk about how it can affect you from time to time. Rule 261, that's next here on the Travel Guys. Live and in living radio, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, known as the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for coming along. Got lots of stuff to cover for you with you today. By the way, coming up at about 11:34, right after the bottom of the hour, we have our friends Sid and Dale with the TSA right here from Sacramento. Almost nobody gets these guys on the radio, but we do. They can bring you up to date on a few things that are happening out at your local airport that are new. So stick around and be here for that, that's for sure. All right, Mark, Rule 261. It's been a while since we've talked about this. Let's explain to folks exactly how it can impact them in a positive way if perhaps you're traveling from the United States to Europe, or better yet, from from the U.S. to Europe, right?
Yes, right, or even when you're coming back, because the rules are a little bit different. This rule came about in 2004. People in Europe were tired of the airlines jerking them around, especially when it came to delays and cancellations. And heaven forbid the airlines would tell half-truths or anything about in a situation like that, or just not keep you informed at all, or tell you something that, wasn't what actually happened. So anyway, Europe came up with a plan. They called it European Union Rule 261, which basically holds airlines accountable for delays and cancellations of flights within their control. So if this happened to us, we're coming back from Amsterdam, connecting in Chicago, they come on the PA system when we're about to supposed to start boarding and said, sorry, folks, we're not going to board for a little bit. Our crew isn't here yet. They're on the ground, but they haven't made it to the gate yet. They'll be here shortly, and when they get here, we'll start boarding. And indeed, they got there about 15 minutes later, and after a rain thunderstorm delay, we got out of Chicago. In some cases, though, the crew never shows up. You know, the flight that your crew is coming in on is delayed and or doesn't make it, gets canceled, something like that. That's not something that necessarily has to do with you. That's the airline's fault for not getting those people there. Now, in some cases, they're going to say, well, it was weather related. But in many cases, it's not. Or the airline has a mechanical problem. Or the airline overschedules and doesn't get a flight out on time, and there's no gate when your connecting flight lands, or your flight lands. You sit on the tarmac for an hour, and now you miss your connection. This is not your fault. It's not the weather. It's not any extraordinary circumstances. The airline just didn't run a good airline that day. So Rule 261 in Europe, in situations like that, there is a compensation program set up with rules that say you get this. If X happens, you get Y. And the airlines are not very happy about it, but they have to play by those rules. And millions of dollars every year go back to consumers in situations where they wouldn't get any type of refund in the United States. And here's the other thing that happens. Because the airlines know that this system is there and that they will be held responsible, my guess is that it gives them an incredibly large incentive to get those planes in the sky. Because every time one doesn't fly, and it can be kind of a domino effect with connecting flights, especially through hub airports, that these folks are on the hook for a lot of money. And as it should be, if it's their fault and they can't get you there, then there should be some repercussions. For U.S. airlines, not so much. You're at the mercy of the voucher or whatever it is they want to give you. And we've talked many times about how, you know, how far a $10 meal voucher goes in an airport. So this rule is important to know for several situations. And if you're flying from the United States, you can still be covered by this rule if you choose a European airline to fly over the pond. So you could have a United flight number, but it might be a Lufthansa, what they call Lufthansa metal. So it would be a Lufthansa plane, but it has a United flight number on it. And you're flying on a Lufthansa plane. So if something is, that's covered by EU 261 happens in the United States, you're protected. Let's pretend that there's something that happens. There's a mechanical problem. The plane's 2 hours late leaving. You miss your connection in Europe. Now you've got a hotel expense and stuff like that. The airline is responsible for that.
Now, how do you determine, how do you find out and know in advance what type of metal or what plane you're going to be, like you say, you're going to take United. Is it a United plane or is it a Lufthansa? How would you know that in advance?
When you go to book the flight, it'll say United flight such and such operated by Lufthansa Airlines. Or it will right on the screen, it will tell you that you've got an American Airlines flight number, but Italia is really operating the flight. So if a European airline is operating it over the pond, you're covered. Guess what? Coming home, it doesn't have to be a European airline. If the flight originates in Europe and you're on United Airlines, you are covered by EU Rule 261. Now, the airline will probably not tell you this because they don't like it. But that's just where you have to know what your protections are. The other thing that this rule importantly covers is you get to Europe and you've got a connection. Let's say you land at Heathrow and you've got a connection to Lithuania. So if you're connecting to another EU country, then your connecting flight is covered. So you fly across the pond, everything goes well, and you go to connect to your flight, and it doesn't operate for a reason that's within the airline's ability to cover, why then you are going to get some compensation. Your hotel, your whatever, is going to be covered by a set rule of compensation. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to stand in a long line for it. It just happens. So it's an amazing thing that the Europeans have done to protect themselves, and we don't seem to be able to get there. And in fact, some airline protections that we had, the current administration has allowed to expire. So consumer protections are becoming a little tougher to get. Maybe it will go better in a couple of years when we have some different people in charge. But right now, the airlines have a friend in Washington, D.C.
And yeah, the consumers, they have, what do we have? We have we have our buddy with...
We have Charlie Leoka at Travelers United.
Travelers United,
who
and that,
fights
that's
a,
about it.
Yeah, who fights a one man a show, and then we have people like Chris Elliott and some other consumer advocates who will try and protect us a little bit when we get into trouble and try to help get us out of it. But it's a very unbalanced situation here, and it's just interesting in Europe that they have become much more consumer friendly with the relationship between airlines and consumers, but. If you're in this country and you fly a European airline over the pond, you're protected. And also when you get there, then your inter-European flights, as long as you're going from one European Union country to another. And a list of those is very easy to find and covers most European countries. And also England, which is not part of the European Union, operates under EU 261. So it does give consumers some protections that we don't have here.
Well, there you go. And with that being said, again, if all of this kind of you got part of it and didn't get it all, look up Rule 261. It'll give you all the details right there online. We are the Travel Guys. Speaking of which, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. When we return, we're going to be talking with our friends Sid and Dale from the TSA right after Mark does a sports leisure update. Stick around. That's next here on the Travel Guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
We were talking earlier in the program about the Tony Awards in New York City, and indeed, Sports Leisure Vacations will take a group of folks back to Broadway over Thanksgiving. We go every year. Clayton Whitehead takes a group 5 nights at the Marriott Marquis Hotel right in Times Square. You're going to stay at a beautiful hotel that's centrally located. You can walk all throughout the theater district, walk to restaurants, enjoy all the sights and sounds of Times Square. You'll have an opportunity to see the Rockettes' Christmas show at Radio City Music Hall, the Tony Award-winning musical for 2026. You'll have tickets for that too. And of course, all kinds of sightseeing in and around New York City, including a Thanksgiving dinner on the Hudson River. So if you are interested, if you've never been to Broadway, or if you have and you've always thought about going back, dare I say there is no better way to go than with Sports Leisure Vacations. You can find out more information on the Thanksgiving in New York trip by going to sportsleisure.com, or you can give our office a call on Monday morning at 916-361-2051. Nobody does Broadway like Sports Leisure Vacations.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. You can get a link to our special guests and so much more always at TravelGuysRadio.com. We are extremely pleased to have back with us from the TSA here in Sacramento a couple of our favorite people, Sid Hanna and Dale Keller. They run the shop over there, and we're very fortunate that they are our guests today on our program. Mark, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, there's something new at TSA. I mean, it didn't just happen yesterday. It's been going on for a little while, but in my observation has been that the people who are smart enough to know this and follow through on it are saving themselves some time at the airport. And since the basic premise of this show is to try to help you get where you're going a little bit easier, this follows right in line with that. Dale and Sid, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thank you, and thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Would one of you guys explain to us what touchless TSA is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. Touchless pre-check. Touchless, basically, it circumvents. You don't have to actually talk to a TSA employee when they're doing the travel document checking. And what it does, it allows you, if you are a pre-check passenger, you have your known traveler number and you have a passport and you have properly set up your identity through your airline, it allows you to not stand in line. You walk up and you can actually scan in, avoiding interacting with the human. And your identity is verified through that process, and then you step forward right into beginning to divest for pre-check. So it's as we've talked about it, it's a line cut, it's a time saver, and it's just another example of our advance in technology that we're doing.
So you really need to activate it through your airline's app or on your phone, but you have to upload your passport. And the picture has to be there. And once it verifies that you have pre-check and you have your passport uploaded, it will add another feature to the pre-check. The check mark that you have, it actually highlights it in the green circular color and lets you know that you have touchless. And then when you go to the airport, look for the pre-check sign. And then also, look for the touchless pre-check sign. And that will have two designated separate entries. Go through touchless. By the time you get to the end in front of our officer, there'll be a camera. You stand in front of the camera. It scans you, matches you against your passport, and you get given the thumbs up or okay, and you're good to go. into our pre-check lane and start divesting.
Ah, okay. One key element here that I think is real important is the passport. You know, you might have your pre-check, but to get to the touchless and get registered properly, you must have a passport as well.
Correct.
That
yes.
is correct. Yep. That is the requirement.
Not all airlines are enrolled in this program yet. More so are coming on board. So it's very important that you have to check and ensure that your airline is enrolled with the TSA PreCheck Touchless ID program as well.
Do you start this process at the TSA website or at the airline website?
It's with the airline. Once you're approved for PreCheck and you have your known travel number, that goes into your airline profile. So at least you have PreCheck. That's the prerequisite. And then in the same airline website, there is a section in there to add your passport, to upload your picture of your passport and get that verified. So they'll take your number and your passport photo and then let you know that you now you're enrolled into touchless ID.
If you have your passport in your hand when you start the process, it all takes about 3 minutes. I mean,
yes.
Literally.
And I found out through experience that even if you do check in and you get your pre-check and you realize, oh, I forgot to put my passport or I forgot to do it, even if you do it afterwards and recheck and just repopulate your boarding pass, you'll see it again.
So. Oh, cool. Okay. All right. That's excellent. Guys, is there anything at the airport that's we're approaching summer vacation season here. You're going to have more people who are not frequent travelers, people who get to the airport with the kids and the big bundle of stuff that they're carrying on the airplane and need to negotiate from the terminal side from the ticketing side of PreCheck to the air side of PreCheck. And sometimes when I see people and see the stuff that they have, I think, oh my, this is going to be a real arduous task for them. Do you have anything that's happening or any tips or things that you would like to share that we can tell people headed out to the airport, experienced or inexperienced travelers, that might help them get through a little quicker and make life a little easier for your folks?
You know, the biggest thing I always say is start at home with an empty bag. You know, that alleviates so many issues right there. If you know your bag's empty, you know what you're putting into it. So if you're using the same bag you go hiking with, and sometimes you like to carry a firearm or maybe you like to go set off fireworks, things like that, you know, if you start with an empty bag, you don't accidentally bring those items to the airport. And I can guarantee you, if you accidentally bring a firearm or fireworks to the airport, you're not going to have the enjoyable experience that you had hoped you would have. It's going to take a lot more time.
That's Tom. We're back to the divesting thing again.
You got that right.
You're not going to have the experience you had hoped for. That is a really nice way of saying your day is going to turn really bad. But you make a good point, and you made this before about the firearm and the empty bag thing. So I'm guessing that when you discover the firearm, the standard answer is, oh, I didn't know that was in there.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you start with an empty, so if you start with, well, yeah, that's probably BS most of the time too. But if you start with an empty bag, then there would be no excuse for not knowing it's there. You casually mentioned there something that I think might be worth casually mentioning one more time: the word fireworks.
Fireworks. Keep your fireworks at home.
Yeah, well, the airlines have already been. I saw one thing already from an airline saying, please, please, please do not pack active fireworks in your carry-on baggage, because if we find it, it's not going. And so what you're saying is that fireworks don't go through on carry-on bags at the TSA checkpoint. Is that correct?
They do not. They do not belong in the plane at all, anywhere in the aircraft. It's a hazardous item. And the airlines don't want it. We don't want it. And if it comes through our checkpoint, it can even delay you to missing your flight due to the fact that we have to call, depending on the firework, we have to call local law enforcement. They might declare it where an EOD needs to come and remove it, especially if it's a higher grade firework.
So basically, even if you put them in your suitcase, I'm assuming that when the luggage is scanned, if it has fireworks, it will be discovered.
Yes. Yeah. The fireworks explosive material, it will be discovered, no matter how artfully you would like to conceal them.
I, I love you guys' comments because they are comments based on experience. And, you know, this is not the first 4th of July. So I love people who think, well, you know what? I'm going to wrap it in. I'm going to put it in with, you know, and it, as though that will make any difference. So please, folks, do yourself, listening to Dale and Sid here, do yourself a huge favor and leave the fireworks at home. Guess what? They sell fireworks in a lot of other places besides Sacramento.
Yeah. Much better than the one here as well.
Yeah. It's entirely possible you may be able to get something way more dangerous where you're going, mm-hmm. and not have to put all of us in danger along the way. Guys, thank you very much for a few minutes of your time. I'm glad that we do this every so often. Comments from listeners regularly are like, wow, those guys sound like just regular people. How nice to have them on the air and tell us a few things. So, and regularly, my own personal experience with TSA in Sacramento is that unless you give them a reason not to, people are generally smiling and courteous and helpful. And that isn't the case in every single TSA checkpoint that you pass through. So the Sacramento attitude is much appreciated. And I suspect that is a reflection of the leadership at TSA. I don't know that, but I suspect that it might be a reflection of the people who lead them in Sacramento. So thank you for whatever you guys do to make people's experience just a little bit easier, because getting through those checkpoints is a source of great distraction and great stress for a lot of people. So anything that you can do or that we can do to help you make it easier, I think, is a huge plus.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
All right.
Reminder, the airport's under a lot of construction. We have the new parking garage and the walkway, and they both will be ready till probably later in the year towards November timeframe. So come prepared. There might be construction. Things might not be as you remember it. So come with plenty of time. Don't rush through. We've been having a lot of passengers trying to rush, and it causes issues, especially when we find items in their bags and they have to be delayed. So just come prepared.
And the parking out there, as we talk regularly on this program, after 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, especially middle of the week, until late in the afternoon when the arrivals start to outnumber the departures, parking can be a real hassle. So if you don't allow yourself enough time when you get there, that the lot you usually park in is full, and now you've got to go to a remote lot, and now you've, instead of walking in, you've got to bus in and all this stuff. And yeah, by the time you get to TSA, you're very time constrained, and your experience becomes everybody else's experience. So if you allow yourself just that extra 15, 20 minutes, so when you get to the airport and everything isn't perfect, you can still make your flight. Why, that makes life easier for everybody. Thanks for that reminder, guys. We'll talk to you next time down the road. Be safe.
Thank you very much.
The one thing over the years that we've emphasized on this program more than anything else to make you a smarter traveler is give yourself enough time at the airport.
There you go. And the other tip that they mentioned that got to keep reminding folks that do a lot of traveling for different reasons. When you get ready to pack, start with an empty bag. That way you won't end up with something in your bag that you forgot was there that might be prohibited.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I've got an editorial from Chris Elliott I'm going to share with you, and also some things about the city of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. That's coming up next right here on The Travel Guys.
Hey there, Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. If for any reason you miss some or all of any of our programs and you'd like to go back and check them out and review, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. You can get replays there as well as at KHTK's website. They post them on theirs as well. Okay, Mark, we got a couple of things to cover here in the last 12 minutes in our little kind of odds and ends thing, and including we want to take a couple of minutes and talk about your visit to Amsterdam.
We do. But first here is a commentary from Chris Elliott. Chris couldn't join us today, but I asked his permission to share a little bit of his written commentary about it. The title is Premium Creep, How the Travel Industry Downgraded You for Profit. In Chris's words, remember when you could check a bag, choose your seat, and check and stretch your legs on a flight without paying extra? It's not urban legend.
used to be able to do all three at no extra charge. I'm old enough to recall when a 34-inch seat pitch was standard in economy class. Today, airlines call that same space premium economy and charge you another $200 for it. That 29-30-inch squeeze you're sitting in, it's the new standard. You're a victim of premium creep. I call it premium creep, the quiet industry-wide racket where yesterday's basics become today's luxuries. Premium creep is the shrinkflation almost nobody talks about, and you're paying a steep price for it. The travel industry wraps premium creep in marketing language about choice and flexibility. But make no mistake, this travel shrinkflation means the exact opposite. You're getting less and paying more. The travel industry creates the problem, then solves it. Brilliant. So how did we get here? After airline deregulation, and especially following the 2008 financial crisis, airlines discovered they could advertise rock-bottom fares while making up the difference, and then some, through fees. It started with discount carriers charging for anything that wasn't nailed down in the cabin, but quickly spread to the legacy airlines. The result? Airlines generated $148 billion in ancillary revenue worldwide in 2024, a 26% increase from the previous year. Fees for baggage, seat selection, early boarding, and all those other extras that used to come with your ticket all added up. How did they do it? They made the basic product so uncomfortable that you'll pay to escape it. And it's not just airlines. The practice spread. Hotels famously unbundled basics like the use of their gyms, daily newspapers, and towels at the pool to create a mandatory resort fee for their guests. Cruise lines removed access to their best restaurants and offered special packages that include basic necessities like Wi-Fi and soft drinks. Tour operators got in on the action, making most meals and activities optional and charging extra for them. And they're just getting started. Watch for things like this. Slowing down your free Wi-Fi. Some hotels have already slowed down the complimentary Wi-Fi to boost sales of premium internet. I've seen properties make it nearly impossible to stream a movie or even join a video call on their standard connection. Cruise food that costs extra. Cruise airlines have now found that specialty restaurants account for nearly one out of every two dining venues on newer ships. It's undeniable that cruise lines have been packing their ships with more specialty restaurants, each requiring an upcharge. Even rental car companies are in on it. Want USB ports and built-in navigation? You'll need to upgrade to a premium vehicle. Basic services are being unbundled and sold back to you. So what do you do about it? Work with a pro. A human travel agent knows which companies offer fair value. That information can make the difference between overpaying and traveling smart. And vote with your wallet. Support airlines and hotels that bundle services transparently, even if their ticket price, sticker price, looks higher. Push back against obvious cash grabs. File complaints when companies advertise one price and charge another. The old standards are reasonable and worth revisiting. If you're flying, you get 34 inches of legroom, a checked bag, an assigned seat, and on longer flights, an edible meal. If you're staying at a hotel, basic services are always included in the upfront price. That's the way it used to be. That's the way it could be again if people stand up for their consumer rights. And those are some words from our friend Chris Elliott.
And a wise man he is, and good advice there. Yeah, Mark, you remember the days when TV was free?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. We were just talking about this in my office last week. We were talking about The Wizard of Oz being on or something and how we all used to gather around the TV set. And one of my staff said, yeah, and you could watch it for free.
Right. Yeah, you know, with a rotor antenna and so forth. Now, you still can get basic TV with, rabbit ears or some sort of an antenna if you happen to buy a house that has one of those old antennas still on it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that strikes me is you remember when water was free? Of course, you can still get water out of the tap, but you wouldn't want to drink it. But if you wanted any kind of quality water that's not going to poison you, you got to pay for it.
So I your mean, point
your point would be that it's not just the airlines that have taken away things that we used to get for free and then sold them back to us, but that really has happened all throughout our lives.
Well, it certainly has in the last 50 years. You know, there's no doubt about it. But Chris's explanation, as you read, of the things that that, like you say, the airlines basically took away from you and then charged you back to get them back is relevant. And there are some workarounds, but not many.
Not many. Not many. That's for sure.
Okay, as I mentioned at the beginning of this segment, let's switch from what Chris had to say to what Mark has to say about flying over the pond to Amsterdam. Give us a review, please.
I hadn't been to Amsterdam for 30 years. As I've recited many times in this program, I'm mostly a domestic traveler. I stay in North America. But Amsterdam is someplace I had been a couple times in the 90s and decided I wanted to go back there. And I just love the place. I have to tell you, I mean, I know there's Paris and there's Rome and there's Barcelona and there's, you know, all of these other wonderful places in Europe, treasured cities that are Geneva and Vienna. But I just like Amsterdam. It feels like a regular person place. One thing, Tom, about Amsterdam is bicycles are everywhere. If you live in the inner city in Amsterdam, then not just for younger people in their 50s, 60s, God, even in their 70s, riding bicycles all over the place. And the other thing I would tell you is when you go there, do not rent a car, because if you're going to be in the interior of Amsterdam, because there's bike lanes and car lanes and tram lanes, and you will just get killed. So use Uber to get around. Do not rent a car and do not rent a bicycle. Because the people who are riding bicycles in Amsterdam know way more about riding bicycles in Amsterdam than you ever will. And you will be unsafe to yourself and to others. So when you get there, make sure that you pay attention when you're out on the street. Because if you can walk into a bike lane and get run over by a bicycle, and it might not be pretty. So when you go to Amsterdam, that's the one thing that you really want to remember is pay attention. Because there are bicycles and pedestrians and trams and cars and all sorts of stuff all over the place.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. Do you see many people riding three-wheel bicycles?
No, most of them were two-wheelers, and they do have there are a few people with the motorized things that are becoming more and more of a nuisance here, but I will tell you that in Amsterdam, they are cracking down on those. Because the people on the motorized kind of scooter things are not really, they're doing the same thing they're doing here. They ride in the bike lane sometimes, they ride on the roadway sometimes, they ride against the traffic, they show up where you least expect them, they come out of nowhere. In Amsterdam, they have passed some very strict laws, and they basically tell you if you get caught breaking the laws as a cyclist or a motorist or whatever, there are on-the-spot fines. So they write you a ticket. You don't mail them a check. You get out your credit card and you pay for it right now. So that seemed to be effective. Amsterdam, of course, is known as probably one of the most liberal cities on the planet. It's the first place that you could smoke marijuana legally. You still can. They have a red light district that they advertise. A couple of things that you need to know. In Amsterdam, if you go over there, marijuana, weed, is sold in coffee shops, and it's also consumed there. So the way that the Amsterdamians have controlled this is you can go in and you can buy your weed, and now you have to smoke it. I mean, obviously you can take it home or something, but not on the streets. Smoke it in the coffee shop where you bought it. You can buy a beverage there if you want to, and you can sit down and smoke it. And that's how they control the consumption, so it's not all over the place and going crazy. Same thing with the red light district. You can go through and look at the ladies in the windows, and you can, if you wish, you can enlist their services if you like, and you can be a tourist and you can gawk at everybody if you want to. But remember, these are people who are just making a living. And this is the way that they make their living. So, you know, it's the people in Amsterdam expect that you will respect the fact that their city is a little bit more liberal in some ways, but don't cross that line and get into rowdy and outrageous and drunk and all of that kind of stuff, because if that happens, they're going to come after you. This is not just a free-for-all. It is still where Europe goes to party on the weekends, but there are police there, and there are rules and laws and things like that, so that you have to pay you have to behave yourself in Amsterdam. Lots of incredible world-class museums there. The Rijksmuseum, Rembrandt, Van Gogh, the Anne Frank House. If you're going to go to the Anne Frank House, you have to get tickets in advance online. Very important. No tickets are ever available on site the day of. So if you want to go to the Anne Frank House, you have to go early. A canal cruise is a must. You can be a tourist on one of the regular tourist boats, or you can take one of the private boats, which often will serve you a meal or cocktails. There are gardens everywhere in Amsterdam. Of course, there are tulips every spring. The weather's a little cool when it comes up tulip time, but the tulips are beautiful. The other flowers follow. Transportation around the town is a snap. Taxis everywhere. Ubers everywhere. You get into a taxi, make sure that you know that you negotiate the fare and the route and the stuff with the driver ahead of time. We had a couple of little issues with like that. But bottom line, I just say Amsterdam is one of the great cities on the planet. Make sure that you go there, you allow yourself more than 20 minutes or one afternoon, that you've got 2 or 3 days to really enjoy the city. And if you're a good walker, all the better.
Outstanding. Great review of Amsterdam. Great show today. Thank you for joining us, my friends. We'll be back next week. Mark?
Remember to dance like nobody's watching next Saturday at 11 o'clock. Be here with the Travel Guys.